Can you hear me now, Brother James? There we go. I got two messages that popped up there. I hadn't seen those before. I didn't know whether or not that meant it automatically turned the sound on or not, but it's good to see y'all, Brother James. And sure appreciate the singing and the prayer. And I appreciate the invitation to be with y'all tonight. I want to read one verse of scripture from the book of Second Timothy, and I'm certain that among the saints of the Lord that are on here this Wednesday night, this is a familiar verse to most of you, and I pray that the Lord would bless us to speak things that have been spoken before, that they would bring forth the glory to God and would edify the saints of the Lord and those things which are most surely believed among us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I sort of had been in prayer today that the Lord would guide our hearts and minds to what he would have us to try to speak on tonight. And sort of as the day went on, I felt settled upon another text. But I had an experience this afternoon that has, I trust that the Lord is in the matter of our minds being here in this verse as opposed to where it was. And I spoke to a gentleman today that I've known for some time, and I've known his family for as long as I can remember. He's a few years younger than me, so I didn't necessarily grow up with him, but I've known his family for a long time. And I was in a meeting with him this afternoon, and he began to explain to me some things about what he believed about the scriptures and some things that he struggled with. And, he explained to me that he felt a little bit more comfortable with the belief that just because one has been saved, that it doesn't necessarily mean that they can't fall away from that salvation. And, I listened to him, and certainly I believe, based upon the interaction that I've had with him, I believe him to be a child of grace. I believe God dwells in his heart. And I have certainly seen the fruit of the Spirit in his walk and in the raising of his children and the treatment of people in the community. And he asked for me to tell him what I thought about whether or not someone who had been saved, whether or not they could fall away from that salvation. And I asked him, I said, well, when you're talking about someone being saved, are you speaking in terms of someone being born again? And he said, yes. And I said, well, do you believe that when one is born again, that the life that they've been given in that birth, which is referred to as the new birth, is eternal life? And he said, yes. And I asked him, I said, well, how eternal can life be if you can have it and then lose it? And I referred him to this verse that I've just read to you from tonight. And when you initially just begin with this verse of scripture that says, who hath saved us? You know, if you just took that piece out of there, you would think that a question was being asked. But that's not at all the case, because the who is not the beginning of a question. The who is a description of the person in the previous verse of whom it is referring. And if you simply look at the previous verse, verse 8, and begin to read there, you can easily conclude, God hath saved us. I'm very thankful to believe that tonight. I'm thankful to believe that God hath saved us. You know, I spent some time with him about the context of salvation in the scriptures, and how there is a context of salvation and things that we can fall away from in regards to God's deliverance here in this world. But praise be unto the Lord that when we're speaking about our eternal salvation, and when we're speaking about the Lord and what he procured for us with his shed blood on the cross at Calvary, that we can with all glory to God declare, God hath saved us. The Lord has saved us. The Lord has saved us, and the Lord has called us with an holy calling. Everyone whom he saves, the same ones will be called. And that calling is not an opportunity. You know, I received a call a few weeks ago that offered me tickets to the University of Georgia football game. And there was enough tickets for me to take me and my daddy and a few of my sons. And, you know, I began to think of all the things that I could have gotten done that day if I'd have just said I didn't want them. But then I began to think about the fact that my daddy was 74 years old, and he's got a 17 and a 15 and a 10 and a 6-year-old grandson that would like to go, and what an opportunity that would be. And I had an option as to whether or not I could say yes or no to those tickets. And you know, I said yes to the opportunity, but you know, I had an option as to whether or not to say yes or no. Well, this that the Lord is telling us about here, this calling, it's not an opportunity that is offered to all of mankind. This is a call from death to life that is given unto those that are dead in trespasses and sin, and whom God has chosen to be his before the foundation of the world. And in the midst of this same conversation that I was having today in regards to our works and what is required for us to be born again, you know, I was approached with the statement that, you know, I don't believe that we're going to heaven by our works. I don't believe that. But I believe that in order for us to go, that we must confess that Jesus is Christ. And I said, well, we gotta keep reading right there. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. You know, if anything is required of us, if anything has to be done by us, and you know, for us to lay down our own pride, for us to lay down our own glory. And I'm going to tell you, I believe we need to lay down our own pride and our own glory. And I believe the more we do it, the better off we'll be. But anybody that would tell you that it doesn't take some sort of effort to do those things is not being real honest with themselves. There is a nature within us that desires to try to take credit for things. There is a nature within us that desires for us to be glorified instead of giving glory where it belongs. And in order for that to be overcome and to confess and profess that indeed Jesus is Lord, that Jesus hath saved us, that Jesus hath called us, even in that profession, it takes effort and works on our part in order for that to be done. I believe it takes effort for us to sing the praises like they've been sung tonight. I believe it takes effort for us to put forth and worship the Lord in a way in which is pleasing in His sight. Anything that is required of us is by definition a work. But praise be unto the Lord that our home in heaven and His calling of us is not according to our works. It is according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. Does it say it was given us in Christ Jesus when we finally decided to make a decision for Him? Is that when that purpose and grace was bestowed upon us? You know, I believe in the purpose of salvation. You know, I heard a preacher say one time that the more, and he even confessed that he may have even made the statement a few times, but the more he hears it, the more uncomfortable he is with it about the phrase, the plan of salvation. You know, whenever it comes to what the scripture talks about our home in heaven, it's the purpose of salvation for His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It was given us in Jesus at a time before we could do anything to say that we had done anything to earn it. It was done at a time that only the Lord and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost were present. It was done at a time where they could enter into the covenant of grace. It was done before you and I could have a saying in the matter. And praise be unto the Lord that that's the way it is. You know, I found myself here in this conversation that I had this afternoon. I found myself in a little bit of a mode of preaching, if you will. And he was smiling at me while we were talking. And you know, he said that, you know, when I got done and I told him about how that all of the ones whom the Lord has saved is going to be in heaven with Him. You know, if I could take away anything positive from the conversation, it would be this. It would be the fact that the end of it that he told me, he said, "What you said sure sounds better than what I said at the beginning." And I said, "You know, I tell you, it's not because I said it any better. It's because it is better. It is a better story to tell a saint of the Lord that, yes, sin does overcome you in your life. Yes, you do stumble. Yes, you do fall back. But you'll never fall from the hand of a living God that holds you and that will not suffer you to fall so that you lose the eternal salvation that He's given you." You know, I remember it was on tape the first time that I heard this verse of scripture preached. I probably heard it growing up among the order of people that I belong to, and I'm sure that I would have heard it preached the same way that I've tried to preach it tonight. But I can't remember hearing it, but I remember hearing it on tape for the first time. And I remember just thinking about how clear that verse of scripture shows us and tells us that our home in heaven is not based upon anything that we've done, but it's based upon the things that the Lord has done for us. I'm thankful to believe that tonight. I believe it with every ounce of my being. I have a hope in my heart that if I don't awake in the morning, that I'll awake in glory. And what gives me such sweet peace in regards to that is because it's not according to my works, but it's according to God's grace. And it's according to his promise that he has promised that God that cannot lie, that he promised before the world began. May the Lord bless us to trust in these promises. May the Lord bless me if I'm ever engaged in another conversation like this. I hope to give comfort to a little lamb of God, and not just trying to prove them wrong, but to trying to give comfort to their souls and trying to encourage them to maybe come and to worship with the people that believe these things. You know, in the same conversation, I live in an area now that is very rich in primitive Baptist history. There's not a Baptist people around in this area that cannot trace their roots to cemeteries and churches, primitive Baptist cemeteries and churches right here in this area. So it doesn't matter a lot of times the church that they belong to when they passed. A lot of times their resting place is in the old Baptist cemetery because that's where their ancestors lie. And this particular person, he grew up in a real similar order. And I'm prayerful that in considering some of the things that I tried to show him, that maybe we might see him one day, and maybe we might be able to rejoice in the beliefs that the saints have believed for 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus Christ taught it to them. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention tonight. Thank you, Brother James.